Lord God, we thank you for the example of Noah, who had such faith that the New Testament gives us him as an example for faith. Please, Lord, build our faith for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. This sermon is a little different than normal. It's a reflection, not an exposition. It's the final part of our series on Noah, and it's seeking to answer the question, is the story of Noah in the Bible a myth? Because that is the assumption of quite a few people. Because Noah comes in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, which have some of the attributes of mythological style. Mind you, myth is a hard word to define, but it has to do with fairy story more than factual account, and it has to do with the truth of the imagination more than the hard reporting of truthful happenings. And the recent film of Noah heightened the mythological by adding weird extras to the Bible story, like magic seeds, instantly growing forests, and strange rock giants. The film wanted us to see Noah as myth or fairy story. But the New Testament resists this understanding. As we heard just now in Hebrews chapter 11, Noah is listed as a person of faith, like lots of other historical characters. And indeed, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, Jesus referred to the days of Noah and the flood in the manner of comparing past events and future events in history, things which happened and will happen. And because I'm a Christian, I live under the new covenant in the Bible, I follow Jesus, this question is now more complex. I cannot write off the story of Noah as a myth, because the New Testament is clear that Noah was a historical person, and Jesus credits the flood as an event in history. So as a Christian who follows Jesus, as he's revealed in the Bible, I want to change the question. Not is the story of Noah a myth, but in the story of Noah, what is myth and what is historical event? Actually, this is the new question I reach to if I approach this question through historical evidence. And lots of early civilizations had a version of the story of the big flood. Different versions, but with a common strand, a large catastrophic flood. Many sociologists seem to say they were just copied and altered from some original storybook. But surely that's only half an answer. If several early civilizations have the flood story passed down from the earliest times in human history, might not that suggest that there was some sort of large catastrophic flood? Now, some of the added extras in different mythology may well be mythological, but there is a kernel of truth in common human memory, which is the flood, which wiped out much of very early humankind. So I think the rational, faithful Christian response to Noah is to seek to distinguish the historical event from any added layer of myth. We are not in the business of simplistically dismissing the whole thing as myth. We are in the rather more complex business of identifying original factual report underneath some sort of layer of mythological extras. We might disagree as to their relative extent. Now, to summarize Noah again, the context of Noah in Genesis 5 is a family tree. It's not written like a myth, it's written like genealogies are written today. Maybe apart from the fact that people lived for 900 odd years each. And that seems to be the off-putting thing for many people. And that could be a layer of myth on top of the layer of truth. Or maybe they didn't count like us, or maybe they did live longer in the first generations of humanity. After all, life expectancies over history are not always the same. And who is to say that there have always been an increase in life expectancies? In the Middle Ages, the European life expectancy was less than 40. In the next generation of the 21st century, some are predicting it will be over 100. These things change, for better or for worse, and by more than we might imagine. Then going on to Genesis 6, it starts with what seems to be a myth about giants, warlike giants who interbred with humans. We might think Jack and the Beanstalk and dismiss it as a myth, or we might consider the Nephilim to be something like, or say something like Neanderthals, not human as descended from Adam and Eve, but able to interbreed with humans, as is shown by today's DNA discoveries. There are different ways of coming to terms with the parts of the story of Noah. Actually, the story of the flood is straightforwardly believable in parts. The moral degradation of early humanity, each generation getting worse as they turned away from God. The godliness of just one family, the dimensions and design of the ark, which quite a few people have tried to build successfully, the possibility of rain for 40 days solid. But then there are things that are harder to believe. Is the claim that the whole earth was underwater a myth? Could it rather have been a flood of the part of the earth which contained all the humans at that early stage of humanity? 7 generations in, they would not have spread far. Just say they were in the Eastern Mediterranean, as suggested by references to the Tigris and Euphrates in chapter 2, and Mount Ararat in the Noah account. Could it be that astonishing amounts of rain in the Eastern Mediterranean raised sea level enough to overflow the previously blocked Bosphorus Strait or something like that, so that water flooded suddenly into the interior, creating the Black Sea in one cataclysmic event, destroying the embryonic human settlement in a sudden massive flood? Or maybe a similar event in modern-day Iraq, the floodplains of the Tigris and the Euphrates. Such things aren't so hard to get our minds round. A flood large enough to wipe out the first 7 generations of humanity who were living in that part of the globe is not so hard to imagine or incompatible with certain geological discoveries, however tentative. Mind you, the destruction of all flesh, as it's described, all animals and birds apart from those on the ark, is harder to imagine. Maybe that's some sort of mythological top layer. Maybe Noah and his family rescued many animals and birds, but not all species in their totality. I don't know quite where to draw the line between myth and reality, but who does know? Scientists only guess and hypothesize. we are much too arrogant if we speak too confidently about what is the underlying truth and what may be the overlayer of myth. People are being simplistic as well as arrogant if they write off the whole account as myth. It is surely humble and sensible to consider that there is a layer of truth which has a basis in early human history and some sort of layer of myth on top. We may disagree about the precise extent of each layer, but our belief in Jesus surely ought to encourage us to believe that there was a catastrophic flood which suddenly destroyed nearly all of humankind, only a few generations after the first humans, and that Noah and his family were the human survivors from whom God fashioned a people who would now relate to him by covenant. Isn't that what comes from taking Jesus seriously? And while not taking ourselves and our complacent contemporary Western generation too seriously. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for minds to think. We thank you that you have given us rational faculties. Please help us to use them well. To use them well in receiving what you have given. Amen.